And we are live. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another version episode of the Dadcast. I want to welcome you all. Happy Kwanzaa, happy New Year, happy Merry Christmas, happy holidays, whatever you celebrate. It is what it is. I probably won't even post this until like mid-January, so I hope this greets you in good spirits. However, two of my favorite gentlemen, my guys, welcome. How old are you?
34.
34,
sir.
51.
I'll be 41 next month. I'm so looking forward to this. Yes. Okay, I know both of your stories, but the audience doesn't. You had dad in your life. You know him. However, he wasn't really present, kind of similar to my situation, correct?
Correct.
Sir, you had dad in your life or no?
Nope.
You both are good men. Stepfather, father.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you, that's your seed.
Right.
What are some, how did you learn to be the men that you are?
I watched my grandfather.
Okay.
Well,
59 years of marriage with him, my grandmother and grandfather.
Wow. Okay. So grandfather raised you.
Yeah.
And that was your mom's mom? I mean, your mom's father or your dad's father?
My mom's father.
Your mom's father.
Yeah.
So was he very verbal with you, like, or he took you under his wing and he just showed you?
Did stuff that went fishing, helped me build stuff, came to my graduations, and you know, talked to me about stuff. I mean, he had three other kids, but you know, they were older, so you know, I had grandparents. You know,
he old school.
Yeah, he was old school. And they never spanked me. My mother was the one that spanked me, but I never got spanked by them. But my grandpa was the one that, you know, showed me how to put, you know, hammer and do, you know, stuff that, you know, build stuff. I cut a finger. He'd tell me, you know, you cut your finger. Okay, suck the blood and keep going.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, he's the one that went to work every day and at 4 a.m. and, you know.
What did he do for a living?
Grandfather was... He worked for Douglas Aircraft for 38 years, and wow. He was the one, and he was also a carpenter on weekends. So he was
on the ground.
He was old school. He was the one that built, he helped build the house for Ray Charles, and Ray Charles lived over in Baldwin Hill.
Yeah, I know exactly where that house is.
He helped build that house. He did a lot of stuff. You know, like he had a whole carpentry set up in the garage, you know, the power saws, and you know, he helped build my first go-kart when I was in the Boy Cub Scouts.
Like,
you know, so
that's a good story.
Did
he have his dad in his life?
I never really asked him that, you know, because he had to raise, he raised my uncles and my mom, and my mom had me when she was young.
So he picked up the slack, like,
yeah, because my pops really wasn't around. You know, he come around in 5-6 years. My grandfather, you know, I'd get up in the morning. He'd have my grandmother make breakfast, and he'd get up and go to work. Come home on the weekends, he'd take his time off. They'd take me with him on his motorhome trips, and I, you know, go bikes up in the mountains and fish with the fish. I really cherish that.
That's
a lot of kids don't get to do those things.
A lot of kids don't, man.
They stuck in the city.
Yeah, I did a lot of those things with my grandfather, man. He, you know, used to take me camping a lot. But he also taught me how to shoot dice and play pool. And,
yeah.
You know,
my grandfather, my
taught me how to color.
Yeah.
My grandfather, my grandparents showed me how to play tonk. I was a kid. I'd play tonk. I was playing card games with the adults because I was the only kid out there with. And this was also, it also showed me the presence of hard work and the rewards because back in those days, my grandparents had a motorhome. They was ahead of the time. They had a motorhome, an actual big motorhome. We go places. It wasn't just us. It was a group of black people called, it was called Lee Group. It was about 15 black.
Never heard of this.
It was 15 black people with motorhomes going up to the motorhome things, parking all together with their CBs, and hanging out together. White people did not.
We had a van. We had a van.
But imagine
a CB.
But imagine 15 motorhomes with all black people parking, open the tents up, cooking like everybody will do, but this is in
community.
This was in the 80s and the late 70s, 80s, I was a little kid, and this is not normal. You know, white people look up and they see a whole half a lot hooked up with 15 motorhomes, and in the front of them just said Lee Group with a happy face, and people looking like they see me and, you know, as a grandson and all the rest of them, you know, the, you know, people up there bringing their grandkids. We got the bikes out there, you know, and they fire fishing, cooking everything else, and they walking by, and I remember, never forget, I would ride around, you know, you meet little kids out there, and they would sit there, I thought everybody black was my relative. Is that? I'm like, no. But just to see that many black people together enjoying themselves and doing stuff that thought wasn't, we couldn't do, and they were doing it.
We are capable.
This is where I saw hard work and, you know, and perseverance was a trip.
Right.
You know, I'm watching.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
Yeah, for me it was the same.
Was it?
Like my grandfather. My grandfather was there, and two of my uncles, which is both my mother's side.
Okay.
So I had one uncle.
Yeah, my uncles raised me.
Yeah.
Both sides. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, well, I had this one uncle, and he was big on education.
Okay.
He didn't care about nothing else. It was all education.
I got one now like that.
When all the nieces and nephews come into my grandma's house, he'd sit at that table and make you think twice, like, damn, should I turn around before he see me? Because if he see you, first thing he'll ask about, your grades. Mm-hmm. Even if you got an A, he's still going to sit you down. He's going to school you on whatever subject it may be. You know, it was just some great talks, and it's crazy because being that young, you don't really appreciate the time that he was taking out. You know, all you thinking is, hey, I'm trying to get back on my bike and go play down the street and catch the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
But now looking back at it, it's like he was really just trying to sit down and better your future. Yeah, exactly, plant that seed for you, you know, so you can be the best you can be. And,
Before you get on to the rest of the uncles, was his dad in his life?
Was his dad? Oh yeah, he was very present.
He was very
present. Very strict.
And was he educated? Like your uncle, was he educated?
Yes, very. Okay. I'm talking about encyclopedias everywhere, nothing but he was just all he had in his living room all the time. When I mean, as far back as I can remember, was his motorcycle and just hella books everywhere. Everywhere, books everywhere with bookmarks in them. That's all I remember about him. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So he was a. He was an aircraft mechanic at LAX.
Oh, wow.
And then he also was a head...
man, brilliant.
He was a head mechanic at DWP.
Oh, yeah, so
he was very, 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 very smart.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Managed money very, very well. Yeah.
Nice. And what about the other uncle?
The other uncle was a surgeon at Cedars-Sinai.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he played baseball at Crenshaw. So that was uncle. When I was young and I was really trying to find, like, which sport I want to get into, you know, he would say, don't worry about basketball, because that's like the lotto, getting to this baseball, you know, and all this. And,
More opportunities. Far,
exactly, right? And, you know, once again, at that age, you're not really, you know, I'm trying to be Michael Jordan, you know, but once again, it's another uncle trying to look out for you and plant that seed. But he was big on work hard, play later. That's all that's, every time he picked us up to go to practice, he would ask us, what is it? And when he would actually be like, work hard, play later, uncle. And he had instilled like structure, you know. When you go to his house, everything was very, very structured. He was very strict. He was one of the uncles that come get you, like, you know how when all the kids gotta go on when the street lights come on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not for him. It's when his water came on to water the grass, when the sprinkler system
that was
came
a whole
on,
different
come in the house.
That's a different time schedule.
Yeah. So it'd be sunny outside, we playing sideline pop in the middle of the street.
I hear sideline pop.
Sideline pop, man.
Ooh, y'all don't know about that, man. I know all y'all.
You ain't that young, you know, sideline pop.
Sideline pop, man. Kids don't play outside no more.
Made you tough.
Oh, no, it made you real tough, right? Especially when you run into that fire hydrant.
Mine was,
I never hit the fire hydrant. You hit a fire hydrant?
Nah, my boy did.
No. Mine was Mine was
I hit the car.
Mine was running into a parked car.
I was always getting hit into a parked car.
I got hit into a parked car. Yeah. I got thrown in the bushes.
Yeah. I was short lived.
When I was younger, I was the one being bullied.
Yeah, me too. I was always the smallest, man. I'm so glad I hit that growth spurt. I am so grateful for that growth spurt.
I was 5'6", 5'7" in high school.
I was 5'3" in the 10th grade.
Oh, wow.
In the 10th grade.
Oh, you was a little fool.
I grew 6 inches one summer. I grew six inches.
Wait, he's got a story like that. Was it Rodman or Jerry Rice?
Rodman. I saw that thing on ESPN.
Rodman
grew a whole foot.
That's crazy. He grew a whole foot.
That's why he was in the guard. And that's why he was a guard, and he came back. He fired forward.
Man, that's
a dope growth, man. Your whole position changed from a guard to a power forward.
Right. I always wanted to be 6'7", man. I missed that mark.
He said I missed it.
No.
I am glad I had that.
I'm going to tell you, my grandmother used to sit there and every, you know, this is another tale of old school. My grandmother would sit there every year. Summertime going up, she had on the door a little piece of a pencil, and she marked my height beginning of summer. In the summer, she'd do it again, and so my grandma would tell me, go in the closet and hang onto the closet thing, onto the coat rack,
and try
to get off, because she kept saying, oh, my grandson's not short and little, because he's going to get bullied, and I was short and little.
Thank God you hit that growth.
Man, I hit that growth spurt. I was in high school. I was short and little. I came back after high school a couple of years later. You know, watch the game, and the friend my coach said, I wish you was this tall when you played basketball. We would have had a nice squad. But I was in high school. I was called Baby Barkley because I was short with no hair. Just coming out court, but I was solid. That's all it was. Yeah. And not like football.
I used to have this dude in my neighborhood, man. Most of my adolescent middle school years were in the jungle.
Yeah.
And there was this one dude, man, for the most part, the hood, like, looked out for me.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, hey, man, go in the house. You don't belong out there. There was this one dude that used to bully me, man. He used to always pick on me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know why he just used to mess with me all the time.
Yeah.
Man, I hit that growth spurt, man. I used to press this dude every time. hey, I finally was tall as him, and I used to just run up on him like, and just look at him in his eye like, say something now. He didn't want no problems with me.
He never thought
that I was going to get beat.
Mine was even.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yours is like that.
I finally got there, man. Ooh. I was like, and I wanted all them problems. I'm like, man, run up now.
Say something.
Yeah, and he would not say anything. And I'm like, yeah, you better shut up.
Yeah.
You better get out my way.
You had that. Yeah. Mine was even worse. I left my grandparents' house. We moved on the other side of town for like 4 years. So I came back, visited my grandmother, and all the bullies were still on the block. You know, they ain't going nowhere. And when they saw me again, last time they saw me, I was like 5'7", 5'8". When they saw me again,
shot up to 6'1".
I was like 6'1". And the bully came to me, I said, what's up, man? What's up, Matt? And he said, man, look, man, I'm sorry I bothered you. Now, when you were little, we were just kids, right?
Oh, and like, he apologized.
He was like, all right, man, I ain't gonna mess with you no more. Now, I said, what's up? He was like, you kind of got a little size of me now. I'm like, we cool, man. And he was like, oh, man, you know, just you know, we was kids, right? Right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, we cool, man.
That was his version of an apology.
I was saying, I'm sorry because I know right now you can put hands on me.
Because
I was literally bigger than him.
Mm-hmm. And I think about it sometimes. I'm even with my situation, I'm glad that dude never put hands on me, but he used to just pick on me, like verbally and like push me around a little bit.
I would go to school hungry. I got money taken from me.
Oh man, that's cold.
Oh man, my uncle told me, other uncle on my dad's side, he knew about it. He said, what won't you do?
Well, the rest of his homeboys wouldn't let him do that. Go that far with me.
Oh, okay.
That's why he didn't do that. He wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, trust me. He wanted to go that far with me, but his homeboys wouldn't allow him to do that to me because they were protective.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Of me for some strange reason. I'm blessed for that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was really a bullying situation. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, You know, he would corner me sometimes. I never forget, he chased me down one day and held me over the rail.
Wow.
Like, we had like a three-story apartment building. Mm. He chased me up the stairs and held me over the rail by my legs.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Like he was going to drop me.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's
deep. Like, yeah. Why? Like, why?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, why do that to a smaller kid? Like, I'm a kid.
I got held down. My lunch money taken from me from after school. Then my uncle was like, before you walk over my dad's, I was like, you do this. You walk to school and you find the biggest stick you can and hold your hand and just start swinging. They'll back off. I did it and gave back off for a while, but then I couldn't find that stick.
Where that stick at?
Like, oh, damn.
And here it goes, you know. But it looks cool, though.
All our experiences, man, it's crazy.
Y'all similar.
You know, they're very similar, but it's also like, what shaped you to be the man that you are? You know, that's what I think about. You know, if it wasn't for Cliff Huxtable, you know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for my uncles, you know, how would I be the father and the man that I am? You know, so I question these things, and I love to have these conversations because it's very intriguing to me, like, to witness, you know, I have these conversations all day, but you two are... Mm-hmm. Two amazing men.
Thanks, thank you, brother.
No, I have a lot of respect for you both. Yeah.
Same here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Same here.
I have
you come a long way, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, oh man, thank you for that, man. Thank you for that. Hey man, he used to call me Rookie.
Rookie.
He's watched me grow up.
Okay.
Nice. He's watched me grow up for real. early 20s.
Yes.
When we first met, and one of my coworkers used to cut his hair.
Okay.
And he used to always, you know. It was always a mutual respect thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was never disrespect. Because I did get disrespected from some other, you know, clients in there from now and then. Like, ah, man, you know, whippersnapper, or you young buck, you dumbass. Like, you don't know nothing. Mm. You know, you're a kid.
Right.
But this dude, I loved being called Rookie by him because he realized, much like in sports, he was the big homie.
Right.
Because he
saw something.
He would say, "What's up, hella old dude?" And I'm like, and I was like,
he's calling 30, hella old dude.
He's like 35 years old. I'm looking and you know,
it was just the gray hair.
This was jet black when he first got there.
He had some gray hair.
All jet black, right? And I'm like, what's up, hella old dude? And I'm looking like, damn, I am older than this guy. And it made me realize I'm older. But he listened. I mean, he kept his ears wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd watch this cat outside passing out flyers to get a haircut. So people would I see his flyers on the floor. I'm like, dang, dude, he just trying to, you know, survive.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, and I mean, I literally watched this cat grow to a point where this is what, you know, you seen Barbershop 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Remember the dude that walked in and the guy was like, first, the white cat was in the canoe. All of a sudden, homeboy had Dr. Eye in the back.
Yeah.
I walk into the shop and my barber is in there doing something. And I say, what's up? You know, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up? This dude tells me straight up, I can't cut nobody today. I can't cut you. You know, you walk in here. Nah, dude, you ain't on the schedule. Booking up. I'm like, what?
Right.
I look around. This cat's got cats sitting on the sign, lined up to get haircuts.
There you go.
Like now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you get me in? No. You know, barbers don't tell you no because that's money. Mm-hmm. He tells me nope. I'm like, dude, I'm online. I'm on the app. App? Yeah. I'm like, you know what? That right there got me curiosity. Let me see how good this cat can cut my hair.
Yeah.
And you know, his boy cut my hair. He told everybody in the shop, yo man, I ain't the best, he is. And the cat he was talking about was his boy cut my hair, and it was on the other side. And I'm getting my hair cut. I'm going, damn, this cat dot the eye. So, but watching him come from passing out flyers, dude, to point where he's like, I can't take nobody at all, showing me that, you know what? You know, he had that drawing, man. That and you know, now it's like, you know, he doing his own thing. He got nobody to report to.
Right.
But himself,
his own boss.
Yeah, which is what I would love to have.
That's a blessing, man. Thank you for
solid brother work.
Oh yeah, man. Very solid brother.
Man. Very very professional. Always straightforward, and I always tell you, I can come in here, I get a good cut, get some good knowledge, and One thing I know about Mark is if he say he gonna do something,
I give him credit. He a man of his word because trust me, he didn't. I'm telling him I got things to do, and he jumped through hoops. And I look at my phone. Come this time, I'm like, oh, I can make it. And all of a sudden, he here. He might not want to be here, but he do. He will come. Yeah. I respect that. As I said, you know,
man, I got a single tear in my eye right now. Man, thank you.
You know? You know what, to comment on the whole daddy thing. I think I'm not saying that my father was a bad father, but the negative feelings that I had as a child, based off of what he did or he didn't do, mm-hmm. being a daddy today, I don't want my daughter to feel those feelings, you know?
So yes, I do.
I make sure she don't ever have to feel none of them feelings I felt growing up. You feel me? But
yes, I do.
I just want to add that in there.
You know what it is, and I commend you, young brothers, on that. Like I said, I don't. You know, my pops bounced when I was two.
Yeah.
And I didn't. You know, they literally had to force him to come to my junior high graduation. Man. Force him.
Yeah.
He's promised me things, and never came through for him. I'm just sitting there just crying.
Yeah.
You know, crying because mm-hmm. my dad, I didn't. And on the line, you know, we became close when I grew up.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him like, you know what? And I got three half sisters.
Ooh, okay.
You know, and it's like, you know, my last half sister, the youngest one, he tried to put in work.
Yeah.
And try to be with her all the time. And I'm like, you made it up for me. You can't make up for times you missed.
Right.
But, you know, so I'll shoot a little shot at him. And, oh, man. I said, oh, yeah, you wasn't there for that one. He knows. You know, yeah. but. And he says, you know, I'm apologizing, whatever. But, you know, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, man, I'm 51 years old.
Okay.
You really can't tell me nothing no more.
Yeah. That's
right. You're right.
So I make it to a point that, you know, my stepson, you know, I was, you know, been there for him, watching him grow up to be the person he is now.
Right.
I'm proud of him more than anything else. I mean, he's doing his own thing.
Right.
He ain't at home. Mm-hmm. He's enjoying his life,
right?
And that's such a blessing, man. Because this new generation of millennials and the virtual insanity age.
We'll use cash instead.
Oh, if you got cash,
okay, I got it.
Yeah.
It's intriguing to me that I don't know how to say this, but a lot of them don't have the. Well, I say this too. Common sense is no longer common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's scary. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, even like we were talking earlier about my daughter and the dolls, I'm like, baby, try it.
Try it out first.
You get what I'm saying? Like, Dad, can you help me put this, you know, these clothes on my doll? You didn't even try it?
Yeah, let me see you try it first.
Let me see you try it first. Then we'll work it out.
Right.
And guess what? Daddy don't play with no dolls, so I'm not going to help. I don't play with dolls.
Yeah.
No, I don't. That's intriguing to me that we in our generation were able to realize what we didn't have and then seek that.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we sought out uncles, we sought out men, we sought out even like some of my best friends' fathers raised me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Like, I would go to my best friend's dad.
Takes a village, right?
And you're right. I would never call them Mr. Such and Such or, you know.
Call them dad.
Dad.
Yeah, my mom had a friend. Dad. My mom had a friend that he helped raise me.
All time.
You know, he's my
dad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
You are my dad.
Yeah.
If I'm cool with you like that, we cool.
Yeah.
We, daddy. You my daddy, too.
He helped raise me, too. He played semi-pro baseball. He's the one that put a mitt in my hand and showed me how to swing a bat. You know, he. You know,
I agree.
Yeah, that's such a blessing, man, for us to have not just grown into the men that we are, but respect each other as men.
Yeah.
Where we are, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, when we grew up, it was a lot different. I think we were fortunate enough to get that mental toughness as well.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's where I'm at. That's
where I don't think kids these days don't have that mental toughness.
Yeah, we're emotional toughness.
I can't.
Man, break down like.
I can't. I mean, you know what? I'm sorry. Maybe it's just me being older.
Yeah.
I don't understand cyberbullying. I can't figure out. Right. You know, I understand. Right. It's like
left.
People get mad on the phone.
Yeah.
Just don't talk to him.
Just don't talk to him.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, he's not liking me. I'm like, dude, you got a lot more people in this world that can like you than one person. Yeah, who cares?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, like I tell people, kids, like, dude, is this person paying your bills? No. Is a person important in your life? No.
Right.
We need to move on then.
Exactly.
Man, I was watching D-Ray, man. D-Ray had a comedy special y'all have to watch. This dude said, the generation right now, he said, it's so awkward. He said, if I see somebody, he was talking about this situation where somebody came in the movie theater and shot up the theater.
Right, yeah.
He said, if I would have saw this crazy person, mm-hmm. I would have told on him right then. He said, I know they say stop snitching. He said, but I would have been like, that person's crazy. Yeah. They're bringing out a gun. Y'all should protect yourself.
Exactly.
Get down, get out of there.
Right.
He said, but nowadays, these people pulling up their phone. They on their cell phone. On their phone with a selfie. Oh, look, they got a gun. I'm getting shot. And then they dead in the casket talking about, oh, how many likes did I get on my death? Like, what?
Shit.
Like, is that where the world's going?
Man,
like, are you going to be dead in your casket and worrying about
likes?
How many likes you got?
Right. How many people watch your watch your YouTube video? You getting shot? Mm-hmm.
Oh my God!
That's the world, man.
That is so scary.
The whole world to me now on this,
that is
on this
so
thing
scary.
Is everybody wants to have self gratification?
Yeah,
that's true.
And that's the thing about it. It's not like to a point where you can be gratified over the peers or people you meet. It's mm-hmm. they want to have instant self gratification.
Right.
Not over the hard work you do. Like, you know, I don't know what you do for a living,
right.
But if you do something for a living, because I DJ on the side.
Okay.
So my self-gratification is why people dance and sweat.
Right.
But not like, oh, you're dancing sweating? Okay, I don't like you.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm doing something wrong.
Then.
I got you. Yeah. It's more on the outside looking in and the inside looking out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For this new generation.
Right.
Like, you should be on the inside looking out.
Yeah.
You should be whole. You should love yourself first.
And that's
You know what I mean? You should be whole and appreciate who you are.
Yeah.
And then give yourself to the world as opposed to, oh, do they like me? How they feel?
Right.
How they feel about me?
Yeah.
Fuck, how they feel?
But do you think the way social media is now today will ever be able to get back to the old school way?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
Only
because of the elite. The people who run these things want that.
Yeah.
They want followers. Mm-hmm. I always get into this one argument with this with an old client, and he would we would talk about who the greatest of all time and different things, you know, different sports. And I would state my case and who I believed in.
Right.
And he would say, well, most people wouldn't agree with you.
Yeah.
I said, there are more followers on this planet than there are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need anybody to agree with me. I know good and damn well what I know.
Right.
I know who I am. I know what I've witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident in my statement.
Right.
I don't care about what most people would agree with.
Right.
You know what? I disagree about that because
you think it'll get back?
Yes. Because because I mean, not where it was ever before. We know that already.
Right,
nothing went before.
Right.
But it's just to a point now. I think people are starting to go back because there's no longer any form of communication that is, you know, like we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more form anymore because people are so much into their phones that now if people are starting to revert back, it's almost like a circle. I'm not saying it's never gonna go, but like now there's restaurants now where you can't bring your cell phone in anymore. They want you to there's restaurants now where they literally take your cell phone and lock it, they give you a key, your phone's locked up, turn your phone off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they want people to communicate and talk. Like it was when you go to dinner, like we go and eat, we're gonna chop.
Right.
People need to be doing this. Right.
But
guess what? You can spend $100 a person to eat. You're not enjoying the conversation.
Single word each other, right.
Exactly. So why are you here?
Right.
And now some people are really going back to old school flip phones where you can't do the Instagram.
You can't do all that.
You're right.
So
right. And I hope the people in places force that, you know, more because I said that some years back about music. Because when we went to that whole auto-tune thing, I said, it's just a matter of time
before
it gets back to pure instruments.
Right.
And now I'm finding some of the most amazing artists.
Yeah.
Like even with Masego.
Yeah.
Like this dude can play every instrument and sing.
And sing, right.
Like,
that's
I can't play one.
Right.
I mean, it's gonna so, come. Yeah. You're right.
I hope it does come.
It's
full circle.
It's just it's gonna be a different way of doing it.
Right.
Okay.
It's you know it's not like we grew up where it was like we conversated. It's just to a point where people are gonna start because it's to a point like you can have 3,000 friends, but are they your friends or are they your followers on Facebook or whatever?
Yeah. They're just followers.
So, but how you know a real friend when you talk to a person?
Exactly.
So
yeah, and I'm very intense about that when I talk to my daughter because she used to come home and you know your daughter's younger than mine, so make sure she and she's so loving.
Yeah.
She accepts everyone.
Yeah.
But everyone won't accept you.
Right.
And you have to recognize that. Yeah. So every time she comes home, she's talking about my friend. No. This is your classmate.
Exactly. Right.
I had to explain to her the difference between a friend, associate, and a classmate.
You don't get hurt if you think everybody's your friend.
You're right about that.
And
it's your fault.
Yeah, right.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
You accepted them in your circle.
Right.
You didn't check or recognize who they were or how they, you know, really respond or look out for you.
Right.
You know? Exactly. And that's not healthy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
It is your fault. You do have to protect and guide yourself.
Right.
So what are some things that you want to leave and impart with your child? What are some major like principles?
Major principles that I want to leave with my daughter?
Yeah.
Is staying humble, you know, teach her respect, teach her, you know, structure. You know, also, you know, like you said, she's very, very caring, very open, but, you know, just to teach you that difference between someone trying to get over on you and somebody that's really a genuine, legit friend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just do my best to instill every positive characteristic I have within myself and my daughter, you know? And just make her better than what I am, you know? And me and my wife, we both, you know, as a unit, do our best every day, man, day in, day out, to just make our daughter the best, man.
I love you, man.
Yeah,
you know what? Yeah. That's, you know, a good thing to say. As I said,
you have a stepson.
I have a 30-year-old stepson.
And I love that because I have so much respect for men who step in to guide someone else's child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that takes a big heart.
It does.
You know?
Well, you know,
it really does take a big heart. So I have a lot of respect for you and what you've done.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you for, you know, blessing this man and giving that to that community. So what are some things that you wanted to give him?
It was like,
and I know you're very vocal, so I know you had some real good talks.
I mean, giving, you know, giving stuff to him was more or less like, you have any questions? If you don't feel comfortable talking to your mom, you talk to me. You know, because and my wife will wonder why he's talking to you like this. I said, because he's not a man. And she would understand that because why my mom, because when I was a young kid, I was, you know, I had that area period where women could understand it. And so I had a person in my life that I called him, like you say, called him dad. He was like, he was my mom's good friend, but, you know, I called him dad. And my mother would be mad at me, and I talked to him about it, and he talked to her and explained to her, period.
Yeah.
There's things that your son, you understand because you're not a man. So with him, I understand the same thing with him. He's like, if you got any questions about anything at all, you feel comfortable with it.
Right.
Come talk to me, and you can figure it out. I'm just learning like you.
Right.
So he was like, okay, and, you know, some things he talked to me about, and couldn't explain to his mom, and I would tell, you know, his mom, my wife, like, hey, you know what? I don't understand. I said, you never will because you're not a man. It's some things that, and she's like, wondering why you talk to me more. I said, because you're not a man.
Right.
I thought if he had a daughter, that's daddy's little girl. Yeah. She can't do nothing wrong. You know this. You know, you feel somebody doing this, you're going to be like, oh no. Mm-hmm. But talk to me, you know, the girl talk to the other, she come to you, you go, oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
Because daddy's little girl, she's no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one thing I figured out with him. It was like he would sit there, and my wife would be just wondering. I'm like, it's things you won't ever get.
Right. Right.
And no, that's true. And that's what I learned from him. My mother would be going off.
Right.
Like, right. upset. And he would say, this is what how he feels. Cause, well, how did he tell you this? And he told you this, but you don't know what I mean.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah.
Thank you both for your time. I'm going to end it on that note. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
Nothing but love and peace. This has been another episode of the Dadcast. I would love some feedback. TheMarkOfGenius@gmail.com. That's MARC, as well as TheMarkOfGenius@gmail.com. At my Instagram page. So hit me up, shoot me comments, questions. Peace and love to you all. Be great. And I hope this helped you out wherever you are. Be great.